summer as it may be. You start a new relationship, but you see red flags, but you go in anyway. And this short-lived relationship ends up terribly. How do you know when it's time for you to heal from those wounds and get right back out there in the dating scene? When do you do it? Well, tonight, we're going to help you do just that. We're going to talk about the mistakes, the red flags, the healing process, and how to pick yourself up and get back out there and look for the one you love. My guests tonight are therapist and relationship coach Joseph Williams and wellness coach and mother of three, Monique Debye. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Monique, thanks so much for joining the program.
Good evening, Harold. Thanks for having me. And Joseph, I'm honored to be here with you as well.
That's right. Joseph, good to hear from you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Okay.
Happy
so
summer.
There you go. Happy hot boy summer.
Absolutely.
or in some cases, it may be room temperature. Monique, let's talk about your story real quick and what happened. It's my understanding you got married last year. You're now divorced because you ignored the red flags. But wait a minute. I'm looking at your title. It says wellness coach. Isn't a wellness coach supposed to see the red flags? And
you know what? They say that coaches need coaches.
How about that? Give us the short cliff notes. What happened? What did you miss?
Oh, my goodness. So I can give you the short cliff notes. This man pursued me for 3 years, and I just kind of friend-zoned him for a long time. I finally said, you know what? Let's give this a try. This is different. We're both in the same field. We both do a lot of community advocacy. We both still, support students. You know, this would be a perfect partnership. And things moved really rapidly, right? So that should have been a first flag. But I'm also a believer in love, and I don't believe that you place time on love. And so I went for it, and immediately, the first red flag was just lies, incessant lies, and I mean lies about anything. So it could be a lie about, what time you were picking somebody up. It could be a lie about, a business deal, just anything. And I was like, okay, the integrity is compromised, but I love this person. They won't lie to me. After that, I found out about a baby after I had terminated my own pregnancy out of the desire of this man, and found out that there was a baby on the way. And we were well into engagement at this time, and I was like, you know what? I'm leaving. And we had a very honest conversation of like, you know what? I'm a narcissist. I only want what I want. I'm sorry. Another red flag, right? But I stayed. And we ended up married. There were lots of secrets, lots of things that I didn't know. And what ended up happening is I discovered that my husband had sexual relationships with other men. And specifically one of them, a transgender woman who I had actually befriended and was presented to me as his cousin. And I spent significant time with this so-called cousin who happens to be my ex-husband's lover. And I was devastated. We blended families. We have children. We live in the same home together. And I really feel like had I paid attention to the lies, I could have dug a little bit deeper, did my homework, and actually figured some things out before I jumped that broom, and I didn't. And things kind of toppled. It went upside down for a good considerable amount of time. I took about 4 months of, deep introspection and reflection, and I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't even know nobody because I can't trust anybody. So that's the short and skinny. Of course, there's several stories within there, but that's the short.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure if I'm gonna know anymore. Oh my goodness, that's pretty rough. So let me ask you, was this your first marriage?
This was actually my second marriage. My first marriage, I was 18 years old.
Okay. And how old are you now?
Died. He passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm 39, actually.
Okay, so you're still at a great age. You're still young.
Absolutely. I don't want any hot girl summers, but I'm still young.
Well, like I said, we can do lukewarm or room temperature. what was it I mean, I can guess, but what was the bloody red flag that said enough was enough for you? Or was there a point at which you just, that you said, well, yeah, maybe I need to cut this off now?
The bloody red flag was actually me calling the transgender woman because I had found some messages. So I went into full Inspector Gadget mode.
Mm.
I started researching. And I started finding gay porn history. I started finding messages between him and this transgender woman. And I called the transgender woman and I just asked. And the conversation went a little like, you know, Mo, I think it's time for the three of us to sit down and have a conversation. And I was like, oh, wait, I'm looking around. I don't have any pearls to clutch. And I was like, this woman just said I need to have a conversation with them and my husband of 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I held it for a couple of days, and my husband was overly affectionate for this time, wanted to be intimate a lot, like more than usual, and it made me very uncomfortable, and I knew that they had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just finally approached it head on, and he was honest with me. He told the truth. I said, do you sleep with men? He said, no. I said, do you sleep with transgender women? And he said, yes. And I was like, you know, that's men, right? And he just looked at me. And the very next thing out my husband's mouth was, you need to wear comfortable shoes on Tuesday. We have about 7 or 8 events to go to. It was National Night Out. That was what my husband told me after he told me he sleeps with transgender women.
So when was your divorce finalized?
My divorce was, oh, this is an amazing story. My divorce was actually finalized on November 2nd, my dad's birthday, and I was actually poolside in Punta Cana with my entire family.
Hmm. So
on Zoom.
Okay. Yeah. So we are now in July, and you're dating now. Is that correct?
I am, Sam. So I'm not actively dating a whole bunch of people. I'm actually dating one man.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, look, no judgment if you were. You're grown, but
I know. Of course.
I guess, and this is where I'm going to bring Joseph in a second. So this was November. When did you start dating again after November 2nd? How soon after that? You said, what, 4 months? Was it December, January, February, March? Is that correct?
Yes.
March. And did you meet this gentleman? When did you meet the guy that you're with now?
I actually met this gentleman on my trip in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay, Stella.
The day after my divorce, actually.
Okay, Stella.
I promise you, I did not bring a Dominican man back. He's American.
Okay. So, but you met him then, but when did you start dating him? And that's the thing I'm really trying to get to.
So luckily for me, and this goes into a piece around how you really know that you're ready to step back out there. It has a lot to do with the amount of time that you take to really engage in healing. I'm very big on my emotional intelligence. I'm very big on my self-awareness and just knowing my triggers, right? And I really dug deep into why I experienced what I experienced. Why did I allow myself to experience what I experienced? And that really opened me up to actually meet somebody else, right? And I was very honest with him. And we've had very deep, long conversations. And what happened is we ended up talking every day. And luckily for me, he is out of town. He lives in another state.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a long-distance relationship where we actually can take our time to communicate. And he came to see me in December, in the beginning of December. And so I would consider that like our first official date.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been dating ever since. And we see each other once every 30 days. But the beauty in it is that it gives me the amount of time that I need to heal, but it also gives him the amount of time that he needs to be patient with me.
Sure.
Because I am healing from some very deep traumatic wounds.
I'm sure. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810 tonight. We're having a relationship conversation. How do you pick yourself up and get back out there to date after making some red flag relationship mistakes? If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Real quick, Monique, you did say you took a deep dive to figure out why you allowed this to happen. What was the answer that you found for yourself?
It's multifaceted. Being a child of an addict, being an overachiever, always feeling like you have to be perfect, having this vision of what you want your life to be. being a degree African-American woman in this country and always being at the top of everything that you do, you feel pressure for normalcy. And also, you know, having your tribe in your home. So I am a Christian woman. I do believe in marriage. I do believe that it should be husband and wife, you know. And so I didn't just choose anyone. I was very intentional around who could also live the type of life that I live, who also values what I value. And just, you know, wanting things to be right and living decency and order.
Okay. Help me, Joseph. What's the first thing that you hear? Help us dissect this story that Monique is sharing with us.
I think, and Monique, I'm so sorry that all of that happened in such a short amount of time. So I'm pretty sure that must be a whirlwind and a bunch of self-questioning and everything else. And I don't necessarily want to make it about, you know, a therapy session with you, but I will say this. And I want to make myself extremely clear to those who are listening. When we talk about healing, heal thyself, you know, heal your wounds, we have to be very careful with that. And when I hear the word healing as a therapist, I always remind a person that healing is about loving those parts of yourself that are broken. Sometimes we believe that in the healing process, we have to return to perfectionism or, you know, pull ourselves back together from a traumatic situation, fully capable and compliant, but in reality, those scars are still present. So we have to be able to love those parts of ourselves that are broken. We have to be able to assume ourselves and meet ourselves where we are. Then also not put the blame on someone else's actions on us. A lot of times we tend to question ourselves based on what someone else is doing. And it's very difficult to not do that, but a lot of times we have to see that if you were intentional and you kept it a stack or a G or real on your part, there's nothing to fear beyond the fact that this situation did impact you or scar you. And sometimes we can walk with those bags for a very long time, but also it's very important to love those parts of yourself that made sense at the time when you did them and not be so judgmental. I believe that when it comes to reengaging in a relationship, we have to always be keen on, we could pick up toxic traits from a previous relationship. And as a therapist, I always refer to a toxic trait as something that's bad for you and bad for the people around you. That's going to affect you on both ends. Toxic is when a person says toxic basically is when a person can't treat you right but can't let you go either. You know what I mean? And so a lot of times we tend to take those entities with us and we walk with them and we deal with them. And so I think a lot of times we have to be able to recognize within ourselves some of our toxic traits and what we can bring in a relationship and what we oftentimes probably put on another person, meaning this person is going to heal me from my previous trauma from another person. We have to get that out of our minds. You know, unfortunately, we're inundated on social media with the Sierras and her marriages and all of these lovely, stagey kind of situations on social media that we find pressure, you know, as Black professionals, as Black people, as people in relationships who desire relationships. We want to see ourselves in that same light. But in reality, we have to be able to see what is loving you correctly and what's the correct way to love a person, and you never know until you get involved in that relationship.
Monique, I know we're supposed to lose you at 7:30, but one of our callers has a question for you. Can you give us 5 more minutes?
Sure, definitely.
Okay, thank you, because I want to make sure that our listeners have an opportunity to talk to you. We're going to take a quick break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. I'm Harold Fisher. Stretches in for John Mons with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. Stay with us. You will be able to hear the program. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Phones will be available until 8 o'clock. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about picking yourself and getting back out into the dating scene after you've made some red flag relationship mistakes. My guest is wellness coach Monique Dubai. And of course, therapist and relationship coach, Joseph Williams. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we will get to you. Al, calling from Baltimore. Quickly, what's on your mind?
I have a question for Monique.
Go ahead.
All right. So, Monique, so as a bisexual man, if your ex-husband was honest with you from the jump, how would you have approached things differently?
That's a very good question, Al. Thank you. I think when I initially had, like, some inclination, I was in this place of, like, if he would just talk to me, if he would just be honest, because I loved him enough. And I actually thought for a moment that I could even live, right, in this relationship for the public, because it wasn't for me, right? It would have compromised my happiness. It would have compromised my sanity. But my children were happy in this home, so I thought, right? Public facing, we were the perfect, we called it a Baltimore love story. We were the perfect couple, right? We were the next, you know, great leaders of Baltimore City, you know, as far as couples go. And so I told myself that lie for a quick moment. I think that in the beginning, if when we first met with each other, if he would have said, you know, I'm a bisexual man, I would have said to him, honestly, I value our friendship, but I don't want to be in a relationship like that because I'm constantly going to think about if you're betraying me because you don't feel like you can be yourself, or if you're out engaging in unsafe behavior because men who live on the DL do that, right? So and that's typical, right? Stereotypical, right, as well. But that's my perception and that's my bias, and I think that I have a right to that. So I would have respectfully declined and would have kept him as a friend.
Okay.
Had he been honest with me, though, as well, for a slight moment, and I think that has to do with my trauma, too, and my over-loyalty to people, I thought I could be willing to stay with my husband knowing that he was having sex with men.
Al, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. D, calling from D.C. D, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So I was married for 11 years, and I stayed with this man knowing that, yes, there were red flags. But I often tell my friends now, like, back then we looked at it as flaws. You know, it was a flaw if a man did something or if a man didn't do something. And now we look at it, and it's like, oh, shit, it's a red flag. You can't do this. You can't do that. I stayed married because of my kids. And me staying married for the 11 years that I stayed married, I became miserable. So as Dr. Williams said, you have to unpack your, you have to unpack everything that you've gone through. And in me unpacking everything that I've gone through, I've allowed myself to heal. I've recorded myself actually, you know, having certain moments where I'm crying and it's like, let me record myself so that I never have to ever allow kids, because I have two daughters, to go through the same thing that I'm going through.
Okay.
So, you have to take your time and heal, but ladies, pay attention to these red flags.
Okay.
I know that we want to love so bad and so hard and we want to be loved, but sometimes you got to just look at a guy and say, you know what? I can't sweep this under the rug. I got to pay attention to this. So, you know, it's hard out here. It really is. Like I said, 11 years I was married, and I just kept sweeping these red flags under the carpet like, okay, you know, they're not so bad. It's not so bad until one day I found myself on the floor because
yeah.
I had fallen over all of these red flags. I had swept up under the rug.
Well, Dee, thank you so much for sharing with us. Which brings me back to you, Joseph. What is the difference between a red flag and a flaw?
You know, a flaw is everything that we have, everything that you have, everything that I have, right? And so a flaw is something like, you know, I struggle with communication, or I may pull away for a few days before I can actually, you know, express myself, or I may be a bit nervous to do certain things. You know, it's just like a character flaw, right? But I think a red flag is something that we've been able to define as a situation that will actually be a no-brainer for a no. You know what I mean? So a red flag is a situation that will be a no-brainer for a no. I have, you know, something like this. Recently, a client told me, well, I'm dating this guy. You know, he's separated from his wife. There's a divorce decree on the way, but they're kind of not around each other, but he sleeps in the basement of the house that they own, and they've been separated for 5 years. That's a red flag. That doesn't even sound right. You know what I mean? And so so a lot of times, you know, we have to be able to see what they are. But I think sometimes what prevents us from making a choice is that we dig deep within ourselves, where we are, where we're functioning at. I was just telling one of your producers, sometimes loneliness can make us make a desperate choice.
Mm-hmm.
Emptiness can cause us to make a very desperate decision where we compromise our morale and ignore those red flags.
Okay. Before we let you go, one more call for you, Monique. And this,
I'm going to actually stay on with you all.
Oh, you can? Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I really appreciate you, you know, sharing that with us. I hope that's not a red flag for the new guy because you were supposed to be talking to him. but that's another story. Let's get that question in. Harris calling from Silver Spring. Go right ahead.
The question is whether Monique would have felt differently about it if her husband had been involved with a woman versus a transsexual.
That is an absolutely amazing question. Yes, and I don't think that this has to. I had a conversation with some, I don't know what generation they are, but our younger people between the ages of like 15 and 25, where they're very fluid with their sexuality and their traditions. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was asked this, like, would it be different? I mean, because sex is sex. And I was like, you know what? Yes, it would be different. And you know what? I think that it would have been different because we as women were raised to forgive infidelity, right, to work through it. But I think that him engaging in sexual relationships with other men opens me up to an entirely different world and a lifestyle that I wasn't comfortable with.
Harris, thank you for that. But let me follow up with that, Monique, because mm-hmm. I honestly don't see what sexual orientation has anything to do with it, because you started off the conversation and you said, you know, well, you are a Christian woman and you wanted to be married.
Yeah.
And so whether he's sleeping with other men, transsexuals, other women, why should
I get what you're saying? Infidelity is infidelity, right?
Yeah.
Why does it matter?
Uh-huh.
Why does it matter? Okay, so it matters for me because my mom actually worked for 15 years for Gay Men's Health Crisis in Manhattan, New York City.
Okay.
I was raised in the LGBTQ community.
Okay.
And what my mom would come home with was stories, and she was an acupuncture detoxification specialist. Mm. And her clients started to change from young gay men in the house community to young, pregnant, Black women, young, straight Black women who were infected with HIV and had stories of their relationships with down low men and not knowing that their husband or boyfriend was in a relationship with a gay man or a sexual relationship with a gay man. Mm-hmm. I carry a personal trauma behind that and never wanted that for myself. So research has come out as of late that says, oh, that's a myth that the HIV rates infection rates are so high amongst Black women because of men in the DL community. Like, they've come out with research and said that that's a myth, right? I lived it. My mom lived it.
So let me ask Joseph this.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't a red flag determined, and we are talking about relationships now, mm-hmm. isn't a red flag determined by how you want your relationship to be defined?
Mm. It can be. It can be, but also red flag can be a trigger for trauma. It could be something that traumatized you previously that pops back up in a new situation. It can be our relationship desires.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that mm-hmm. I don't mean to cut you off, but let me put a fine point on it.
Okay.
I smoked for 20 years. I smoked cigarettes for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From college all the way up until the early 2000s. If somebody smoked during that, you know, during that time when I was dating, during those 20 years, didn't matter to me. Now, I wouldn't date a woman who smokes. That's a red flag for me. Mm. And so that's what I mean. You know, nope, can't do it. Won't accept it. And that's what I mean about how you define what works.
Red flag.
Yeah.
You know what, though? And Harold, with all due respect, I don't want to take away that space for
right.
you. But I will say I would think that's a preference of yours. You
okay.
just don't desire to be with someone who smokes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Preference, you know, red flag, fault, whatever.
I wouldn't consider that a red flag. I would consider that more of a a preference, you would rather deal with a person who does not smoke cigarettes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I can add to the definition of red flag for me is something that I wouldn't accept for myself, or I wouldn't accept from someone who I wasn't in love with, and I have to question whether I should move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That for me is a red flag. If I have to question that I'm making the right decision moving forward with this person, and it's not something like, oh, you know, you picked me up late from work, right? That's not it's kind of like, okay, it was a mistake, right? But when I find somebody's panties in your car, that's a red flag. That's something that I have to question if I'm going to continue going forward.
A red flag, in my definition, if you will lie about who you are, you will lie about things that you're doing, that means that you'll lie to me about serious matters when it relates to us.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a red flag. If you're going to lie about who you are and what you are and what you do, that means that you would lie to me about anything.
Joseph, how do you deal with red flags that you see? For example, chronic tardiness. Is that a red flag?
That can be a red flag. That can be a red flag in the space of employment. That can be a red flag in the space of relationships. I believe that, if you see a consistency, everybody has a pattern. Everyone has a pattern. And so when you start to see that this pattern has begun to impact the functionality of anything that this person is associated with, that's when we have to call them out. I think nowadays we're in short time. And what I mean by short time in a spiritual sense, that life is a breath. I remember I was a Howard student a few years ago, and now I'm well into my 40s and got great, hair. You know what I mean? I was a hot boy 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Still am. But the reality is that...
room temperature, Joseph. Room temperature.
So what I mean by that is that we have to call them out. I'm uncomfortable. This doesn't make me feel good. This is what you're doing, and this is what it appears to be, and this is what I'm noticing, and that doesn't work for me. And you have to be very stern about what works for you and what doesn't work for you, not in a selfish sense, but in a sense of I have to keep my emotional health, my spiritual health protected. This does not work for me. Ever so often, and I have clients who do it all the time, 1 week I'm in love, the next week I can't do this anymore. I got clients calling me, speaking in breakbeats. You know, a breakbeat is like, I can't do this anymore. Then next week, oh, we're taking a trip together, we're in love, and I'm like, so back and forth. You have to be stern on what it is that you want and what it is that you don't want. And everybody got magical tricks that they can do in the bed with their mouths, with their body parts that can pull you back in. And so a lot of times we have to be able to mute that part of ourselves and say, in the long haul, this does not work. And we have to call them out. When we're in short time, we have to speak up in real time and say what does not work and what I'm not willing to put up with.
So mm-hmm. No, I was going to say, because, Joseph, Monique didn't just talk about one red flag. She had the whole red stripes of the Star Spangled Banner going on.
Harold, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead. No, please.
Let me say this. And with all due respect, I hate to do this because I never love to interpret a black woman while she's present. But I'm going to just say this. And Monique, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because we are siblings in this world, in this work that we do. And so I will say this. I think that Monique said it clear as day. She believed in love.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Christian woman. Togetherness, familial functionality was very important to her. Being that couple, being a mother, being a queen of her household and welcoming a king in, there may be some things that she see that she does not like, but sometimes when you believe in love, you believe that those things will iron out and get better. And so sometimes it's typical to just ignore those things or think that you can work around them. A lot of us in our communities have been socialized to believe that you got to get past the bad stuff in order for it to get good.
Yeah.
A lot of us believe that. I have my uncles, I come from a patriarch. I have nothing but men in my family. And all the women in my family were married in. I watched them as kids when they were bickering and beefing. But as I became a teenager and an adult, they have the most loving relationships and marriages and everything, 30, 40 years together. But in the beginning, it was trauma. You know what I mean? That I didn't understand, but that's what I was socialized to believe. You got to get past the bad part to get to the good. But sometimes that's not normal.
Well, I think you touched on one of the points that I was about to make. She didn't have one red flag, which was just lying, and she didn't say, you know, okay, I need you to stop lying. Okay, it happened again, and you stop lying. It happened again, I need you to stop lying. It was lying. Oh, and then the baby. Oh, and then, you know, an affair with a transgender person. I mean, there were a series of things. So I say all that to say or ask you how, just for the one red flag, if there's just one red flag that you just don't like, how long do you wait after, how many times do you have to address this before you say, I'm out, and how do you... And how do you leave? And I'm not talking about marriage necessarily. I'm talking about somebody who just may be in a relationship, although I'm sure marriage would be applicable too. Joseph?
Mm. Okay. Well, I'm going to say this. What if I told the audience that the longer you put up with it, it would take double that time to get over it?
Okay.
If that's going to be your timeline, if you deal with it for a year, what if it takes you 2 years to finally get it out your system?
Mm-hmm.
If you do it for 11, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Joseph.
No, go ahead. Finish your point and then go right ahead, Monique, please. Joseph, finish your point and then we'll let Monique go ahead.
So there is no timeline. I think we all have to look at our threshold and what we're willing to put up with and what we're not willing to put up with. And then also we got to rid ourselves of the pressure. And with all due respect to Miss Monique, I believe that there was also pressure on Monique. You know, they were a beautiful couple out of Baltimore. You know, they were the it couple. It was beautiful. They worked in the same field. It appeared to be a beautiful, you know, imaginative kind of love story that sometimes you do it in the form, in the space of, it just looks right for the public.
She believed in the facade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can contribute to the facade because in our heart's desires, that's what we want. She got herself a man. She's getting married. There is no timeline on how soon you can fall in love with a person. And I agree with Monique on that. But then at the same time, I don't want to go too far with it, but I do think that Monique believed in love, and she believed that things will iron themselves out. If she, you know, this is the misnomer. We believe if we love the hell out of somebody, it'll make them do right. Sometimes we can offer so much love that we forget to love ourselves, and then the person may walk away with all of this love that they can offer to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. We think that we can love a person so much more that it'll make them do right. And sometimes loving them more makes you look pathetic and pitiful.
Okay.
Monique, and they'll usurp and pull that love from you.
You were going to make a point, Monique. Go ahead. Monique, go ahead.
Going back to, like, how do you determine, like, which red flags you should just be like, you know what, this is unworkable, if that's a word. I think it comes down to discernment. And I know you talked about thresholds, Joseph, but really discernment. How much of the what can be worked through? What is something that you can partner with your mate or your spouse and actually heal from? Like, you know, people are dealing with their own childhood traumas as well, right? So they bring that stuff to relationships as well. So which of these red flags, even as alarming as they are, right, a baby that was conceived before me, we can work through that because the baby was conceived before me. What we really need to work on, though, too, is the underlying lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are things that you can work through. But when those lies are damaging finances, when those lies are damaging cars or your home situation, then it's like, you know what? I might not be able to work through this because your character is damaged, right? These are character deficits that you don't even want to heal from. You don't even want to work through. You want to continue to still be the same person who ravages women because you prefer to be with men. Mm-hmm. You are still the same person who takes advantage of people because you want to be the top dog. So those are things that I don't think that you can actually work through. So I think discernment matters a lot as well. And I held on to hope, like, you know what? There's this thing called forgiveness. We can work through this baby. I have a very good relationship with the baby's mom, as a matter of fact. She doesn't talk to my ex-husband, but she and I talk.
Okay.
So we could have worked through those types of things. But some things are just, you can't work through them.
So, Joseph,
you have to think about.
So, Joseph, if you've walked away, how do you know when you are ready to get out there again? And in Monique's case, and in the case of many other people who have experienced various and sundry levels of red flag relationship mistakes, how does a person date again without having the new person suffer the slings and arrows of the trauma of the previous relationship?
You want the real truth or the fake truth?
Well, you know, we always want the real, the truth, truth. Let's talk about the truth, truth only here.
What if I told you that you, the individual, will know truly when you're prematurely ready or when you're truly ready? And a lot of that has to work through you and how far you're willing to go with the healing process. And what are you willing to unpack? And what are you willing to look at that's going to make you feel uncomfortable? And what are you willing to love a little bit more that you looked at as a bad trait? You know, what are those areas in your life stemming from childhood, stemming through adulthood, stemming through personal trauma, anything that you've gone through? What are you willing to look at and kind of dive into to make yourself a better human being, to be better loved? I always ask my clients, do you think that you are dateable right now and lovable? You know, and if you saw you and you found you attractive, would you feel that you would be worth dating? And a lot of the people are like, ooh, I don't know. And I'm like, see, and that's the person that you need to start loving on a little bit more. You know, so you have to look at you in the mirror. But the real answer to that question is that you will know. I can't answer that for a person. The only thing that you have to recognize is that where am I in my process of getting through? I believe that Miss Monique is in a good position in her life. I believe that she has let that go. I believe that she has put herself in a position where she's realized that that was that person's behavior. I believe in myself and my love. My love is bomb. And, you know, you dating me is a benefit. And so I believe that she recognized the confidence in what she puts on the table and what a person will benefit from being with her and loving on her. And we're not talking about finances. We're just talking about that general love from a woman to a man. And so I believe that she's in an awesome position. Other people, you know, we oftentimes hold other people accountable for mistakes that someone else made, like, oh, I need to see your phone because the last dude or the other dude did this, so I need to make sure that this is in place. Those are people that are still desiring love and affection, but they just haven't properly went through the steps of healing themselves.
But here's an example. I'm just going to make this up and throw this out here, hypothetically. Yeah. All right, so, you know, Monique has this, you know, this new guy, and it's, you know, and it's wonderful, and he's living two states away or however far away he's living, and but she couldn't reach him on one particular Saturday because he was out playing basketball with the boys. That could be triggering. Help me here, Monique. Oh, so now you prefer to spend time playing basketball with the boys, shirts and skins. So you out there with shirt off with the other fellows. And I know it sounds funny, but considering what you just went through, you know, I can just hear not Monique, but I can hear, you know, someone else say, why do you have to have your shirt off around the guys? Mm-hmm. You know what? Well, these are the guys that I've been, you know, I've been friends with, you know, since high school. Okay, but you know, I don't. You guys are just a little bit too close to me, and you know, when you dap up, the hug is just a little bit too long. So, and in a situation like that, who, if he knows what your, you know, this red flag relationship was beforehand, how might he say, babe, he is not me? Mm-hmm. How do you, because that's treacherous water right there. That may be triggering for her. That may be, and that could be a red flag for him.
I think it's twofold, Harold.
Go ahead.
I think it takes some self-responsibility mm-hmm. on my part to be very, I want to say objective, but more objective, and also keenly aware of my emotions and how I'm showing up in the space. How am I responding to things that make me uncomfortable? And how does that situation make me feel? But then I also think that the other piece of it too, and I talked about my current man being very patient with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's aware. I have told him everything about this story. I've told him about the feelings related to it. So he's aware of how delicate he has to handle certain things. And he's not walking on eggshells or anything, but we communicate and we overly communicate about certain things because there is space for, you know, misunderstanding of something, or, you know, my perception is jaded because of what I experienced. And so having those regular conversations with each other about how we're feeling about certain actions or events is very important. But it, I think it takes me having a handle on myself and my emotions and understanding what are triggers and actually saying it, but not coming from a place of attack because he's not him.
Yeah. We've spoken about the red flags that you saw. Do you have any identifiable red flags, Monique? I know you're perfect. I know you are. But
you know what, though? And I'm far from perfect, Harold.
Harold, if you don't mind,
Sure.
I ask the question, can I ask the question a different way?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, so remember we said that toxic traits are, you know, those things that are bad for you and bad for the people around you. What are at least three toxic traits that you may bring to a relationship that you probably need to work on fixing?
Oh, definitely. So I would say number one is trust. And not just in a matter of, like, are you cheating with me? That's not what I mean. I'm talking about, can I have a difficult time trusting that someone is not going to disappoint me? Okay. And that can be in any shape or form, not leaving eventually or something like that. But it's like, you know, are you going to be who you say you are? Are you going to be who you're showing me you are right now? Mm. And it shows up and manifests in different ways, though, right? You know, that feeling left out or, you know, feeling like that person is closer to other people than you.
Mm.
And so it's just this sense of fear, and it's driven by fear because you want to hold on to your relationships, but that stems from abandonment issues as a child.
Mm.
I would say also communicating through discomfort.
Define that.
Oh, I'm going to define that. Communicating through discomfort is very difficult to communicate when I am uncomfortable or when there is conflict in a calm manner, because I'll hold it in and I'm like, I can't say that because I'm going to be upset about that. And I don't want to be a nag. Oh, but it's really bothering me. But when I get set off about something else, then the cap on the gas can pops off.
Mm.
It pops off. So now I'm no longer Monique. I'm now, you
Monica,
13-year-old Porter who was on the street. Who you going to get my wrath, right? And it's not fair to him, but that's what happened. And then I would say finally, maybe I'm only toxic two times. Maybe I don't have to.
I told you you were perfect.
but no. I think, I don't think this is a flaw of mine, but it definitely could be a toxic trait in that if it was not with the right person, being overly loyal sometimes is a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, loving on people so hard that you're willing to give your all. You're willing to not only give all of your time, but your resources, your feelings, your spiritual energy, all of these things, and it may not be the right person.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I only have about a minute left. Joseph, I'll let you have the last word on this issue about picking yourself up, getting out there after these red flag mistakes.
Love on those parts of yourself that you are able to recognize that are broken. Understand that the healing process is not perfect, and a lot of times we believe that healing ourselves from a bad situation, we have to return to perfection. No, we have to return to awareness. Understand that your lack of trust towards others has more to do with you don't trust that you're going to make the right choice with someone that you don't know based on previous interactions with others. Start to level that part of yourself and understand that who you are, you're beautiful. You deserve to be loved correctly, but you also deserve to love on you correctly first.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end this conversation. Monique Dubai, thank you so much for being so transparent with us.
Thanks for having me.
And I really, really hope that this new situation works out for you and makes you happy. Thank you so much.
And Joseph, thank you as well.
Joseph, love always you, great to have you on the program,
love you
brother.
As well.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Harold Fisher. Love you, brother. Love you, totally.
Absolutely. Thank you. Love you, too. That is the Daily Drum for this Friday, July 15th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins-Wilson, and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. Have a good weekend. Good night.